Welcome, everybody, to our Monday night Parsha class. Today is Yud Av Tovshin Pei Aleph, corresponding with the English calendar, July 19, 2021. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Va'eschanan, and it's also coupled together with another name. It's called Shabbos Nachamu. It's the Shabbos of Consolation. This week's parsha, interestingly enough, has in it the part of the Kriya Satira that was read on Tisha B'Av. The part that says, Ki solid bonim, ubnei bonim, v'shantem ba'oretz. It's the part that we read on Tisha B'Av that talks about Hashem's ultimate rejection of the Bnei Yisrael, how he said that if they don't obey the Torah, they will be expelled from the land. And Hashem fulfilled his threat. And so it was. The Bnei Yisrael suffered through two Bate Mikdashais, two calamities, two destructions of the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting to note, though, that in the same parsha, Parshas Va'eschanan, there is this feeling of Nechama where Hashem right away tries to show the path to return, the path back to greatness. That after the parsha is discussed, of the parsha of Kisa'olid Bonim is none other than the parsha of Aseres HaDibros, where Hashem's Ten Commandments was repeated by Moshe Rabbeinu to the new generation. And after that parsha, not long after, is the part that is another feeling and move of conciliation was the part of Shema Yisrael, the famous Parsha of Shema Yisrael. So right in the Parsha that we read in or on Tisha B'Av that dealt with the destruction and the expulsion of the Bnei Yisrael from Eretz Yisrael, right away Hashem gives us the tools how to return. To return to Hashem through the Torah, to return to Hashem by having Avas Hashem, having faith in Hashem. So this week's parsha is a special parsha, the parshas V'aschanan, that's known as Parshas Nachmu, Shabbos Nachmu, and I wanted to dwell on the part of Shema Yisrael. The part of Shema Yisrael has an element over there that's critical to the reconciliation of Hashem bringing the Bnei Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael, back to their original status, by having them recognize that it's with Avas Hashem, with loving Hashem, that we are going to be able to thrive as a special people. Shema Yisrael is said from the beginning a child is born. Shalom Zachar, we know that the night before a bris milah, children gather around the baby and they say Shema, Krishma. We know parents from the infancy of a child will rock the baby to sleep with saying Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is said throughout a person's lifetime. There's a mitzvah in the Torah for every Jew, every male actually, to say twice a day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and there are opinions to say with that you fulfill the mitzvah. Others hold that you have to say the first paragraph of Shema. And then there's another opinion that holds you have to say the entire Shema. But whatever the opinion is, a Jew connects with his Creator by saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad every day. He says this till the last moment he lives on this earth. That is his parting words. He begins his life with Shema Yisrael, his allegiance to Hashem, his dedication to the Almighty, and he leaves this world with Shema Yisrael. We are familiar with many stories how the Jewish people, in all different times of crisis, whether it was in the times of the Crusaders, in the times of the Inquisition, whether in a time when they were tortured in the Holocaust, the lips of on their lips were the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They left this world with those words. We have to try to understand this pasuk. We have to try to understand the meaning behind Shema Yisrael, behind beginning our allegiance to Hashem by saying we have to es Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyadecha. We have to understand this important mitzvah, and perhaps we will have a better understanding and better insight to its performance. The Torah says in Perek Vav, in Parshas Vayeschanan, V'zois ha-mitzvah ha-chukim v'ha-mishpatim ha-shetiva Hashem Elokechem l'lamed etzchem. This is the mitzvah, the chukim, the chok, the mishpat, which Hashem is commanding you to learn l'lamed etzchem. He's teaching you lasos ba'aretz to do when you go into the land asha'atim oivim shama l'vishta. L'man tira, if you do this mitzvah, in order that you will fear Hashem, Elokecha, lishma es kol chukosav u'mitzvosav, hashanochi mitzavecha, ato uvincha uven vincha, which I'm commanding you and your son and your grandchildren, kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life. Olaman yarichun yamecha, in order that you should have long days. V'shamata Yisrael, and the Jewish people shall listen, v'shamarta, and obey. Lasas ashayita v'cho, v'asher tirban ma'od, which will be good for you, and you will multiply. Kashidiba Hashem elekei v'secha, loch, which Hashem has spoken to the God of your fathers about the land, Eretz Zovas Cholavet Vash, the land flowing with milk and honey. What is this? What is the Zaytzai Mitzvah? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear Israel. Hashem is our God. Hashem is one. V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyadecha. And you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. B'chol levavcha, with all your heart, b'shnei yetzrecha, with your yetzer tov and your yetzer hara, v'chol nafshecha, and with all your soul, even if it means to give up your life. V'chol miyadecha, with all your strength, it means with all your money, with all of your might. That's how you serve Hashem. So when the Torah says, v'zayis ha-mitzvah, this is the mitzvah, which I'm commanding you and to teach your children, is the mitzvah of loving Hashem, v'chol avavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol miyadecha. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. How do we properly understand this? Let's first go to the history of saying Shema Yisrael and understanding its origin. The history of this statement goes back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, before he passed away, assembled his family, his entire group of Shvatim right by his bed. And as he was about to bless them, the Shekhinah departed from him. And he thought, maybe there is Avodah Zarah among them. And he asked, do you believe in Hashem? Is there any idolatry among you? The Shvatim responded, Shema Yisrael, hear Yisrael. Yaakov's name was called Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, hear Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. There is no idolatry among us. We are completely united in this belief. When Yaakov Avinu heard that, he quietly said, Baruch Shem Kavoy Malchusay Le'olam Va'ed. Blessed the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever. This is the origin of the Shema Yisrael that we have in the Torah. Now you'll wonder, then why do we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso in our Krishma? And it's not mentioned in the Torah. How come Moshe Rabbeinu didn't mention it in the Torah? And the answer is, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah from Hashem, he heard the Malachim say those words in praising Hashem, saying, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Va'ed. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to say these words and add this in the Torah, that this would be something that the Jewish people should say. But he said, how could I do that? Yaakov Avinu, my ancestor Yaakov, he said it quietly. So how could I put this in the Torah if this is what the Malachim said? And after all, we're not Malachim. So it has been the custom that we say it quietly. We say Baruch Shem Kavai Machusa Le'olam Va'ed quietly in every Kriya Shema. But on Yom Kippur, when we act like Malachim, when we don't eat or drink, and we try our best to clean our neshamas, that it should be white and clear, clean. Oh, then with the minhag to say, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso out loud. And that's the history of that custom, of where we say in Kriya Shema with Baruch Shem Kavod. Now, we have to understand that the truth of the matter is, in the Shema Yisrael, when we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, this is really the foundation of Yiddishkeit. This is the foundation of Jewish people. This is the foundation where the Jewish people have given up their lives for this precept, for this mitzvah asay of Kriya Shema. We have to understand, says the Oznam Taira, that when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we are actually saying the following thing. We are actually saying Yisrael v'yaraisa v'kutcha barichu chadhu, that we are all united. We're all one. The same way as Yaakov Avinu spoke to all of his children and felt comfortable that they're all united together in believing in Hashem, we're doing the same thing every time we say Kriya Shema. Let me read a little bit of the Sefer Oznayim LaTorah, the Sefer that was written by Reb Zalman Sorotskin. It says as follows, this is a rule, this pasuk, it encompasses so much. Lo rak aklus habor yisparach, not just the oneness of Hashem. Elagam shel am segulaso. It also encompasses the am segulaso, the nation of his treasure. The kucha barichu v'yareis of Yisrael chadu. Shekivan shehashem elakenu Hashem echad. Since Hashem, we say Hashem elakenu is Hashem echad. Hari ha'am shebacha lenach l'alai. This nation which he chose for his portion, his inheritance, who am echad, who's am Hashem, as am ha'Torah. This nachla is am echad, am Hashem, am ha'Torah. This is what we say every time when we say Krishma. We are being united to Hashem by saying, Kuchabrichu v'yavaisa v'yisrael is chadhu. And as a result, when we read these words, the next pasuk, v'yahavtes Hashem aleikecha and yishalav Hashem b'chol avavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyadecha, here the Chofetz Chaim al HaTorah makes it very clear that loving Hashem is a mitzvah asei. It's a mitzvah asei to love Hashem, to be actively involved in loving Hashem. Not to just be passive by just reading the words, but we should show it and experience it and practice it. We practice it in many, many ways. We on the mitzvah asei level, we spend much more money for a mitzvah when we want to show Hashem we appreciate the mitzvah. Well, the mitzvah could be a talis, or it could be a pair of tefillin. We should not be alarmed that tefillin at first might be an exorbitant amount of money, but it's a mitzvah to spend money on a beautiful pair of tefillin. Especially, I told a parent who was about to buy a pair of tefillin for their child. I said, during our present lockdowns, where many bar mitzvah boys had a very, very meager celebrations, they had basically curbside mazel tovs, where cars came by and wished them mazel tovs. And I said to them, look at the positive side. How many thousands of dollars you've saved on the affair, on the caterer, on the band, on the invitations and the time is spent. Maybe you should put that extra money you would have invested into a beautiful pair of tefillin for your child. And when I said this to the parents, I can see that their eyes lit up. That, you know, it makes a lot of sense. I said, okay, tefillin today is not cheap. It goes into over $1,000 for a very beautiful kosher pair of tefillin. But you're mikayim zeh keli vanzeu. You're buying a pair of tefillin for a bar mitzvah boy. He'll cherish it for the rest of his life. The bar mitzvah boy will now look at a mitzvah with different appeal. A father buys a beautiful kosher esrog. He spends a little extra, more than he planned on spending. A beautiful menorah. Beautiful candlesticks for a chassan, for a kallah, as a gift. No, these are an opportunities. These are to show how you can fulfill mitzvahs for others and for Jewish people with Avas Yisrael, Avas Hashem. Giving tzedakah with an open hand, mitzvah asei, to help out people who are unfortunately struggling. Many people have lost their jobs lately because of the lockdowns and the pandemic. And many, unfortunately, in the recent tragedies that we've heard about, whether in Maron, whether in Givat Zev, or in Oceanside over there in Florida, where many, many people are left on the limb. They have no parnasa. They've lost everything. This is an opportunity. Sho'avas Hashem. And on the negative, on the lo sase side, got to be careful to curb a person's appetite to speak lashon hara, or to maybe speak irresponsibly about other people, or let's say he would be challenged by doing an aveiro that would meant he would put his job on the line. That's called avas Hashem. I said, listen, I can't give up my religion because you want me to do something forbidden. Right? All this is an expression of avas Hashem. So what the Chafetz Chaim was talking about, avas Hashem shouldn't be just read in the Krishma. He's saying, V'yahavtas Hashem alakecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyadecha. Of course we should read it, but we should apply it. We should connect it to our daily lives. And therefore, it should mean much more than what we just say. And on a deeper level, my Rebbe, Chaim Dov Keller Zatzal, in the Sefer Chideko, says that this Avos Yisrael should influence us, l'shem shamayim, that what we have and what we do, for example, the way we live, it shouldn't just be on a surface, but that our lifestyles should reflect Avas Hashem, that whether we have or whether we don't have things, whether we're affluent or whether we're not affluent, whether we do have many children or don't have children, whatever we do, we should do it l'shem shamayim, with the idea of serving Hashem, and we doing it because out of the love of Hashem. And by doing that, with that little bit kavana, we make a world of a difference. We make a world of a difference. So it's so important that we apply this concept of Avas Hashem to our daily life by simply thinking to ourselves of our obligations and applying what we are doing all the time, that is doing L'shem Shamayim, Avas Hashem. Whenever we do a mitzvah, any mitzvah, we just proceed it with the thought, I'm doing this L'shem Shamayim. You're visiting the sick, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. I'm going to be benching before after my meal, a thought, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah, a d'oraisa, a v'yachalto, v'savato, uveirachta, blessing Hashem. Every mitzvah we do, we could precede it with a thought, a holy thought, that would make it l'shem shamayim. And by making it l'shem shamayim, we are fulfilling avas Hashem. You're putting tzedakah in the box. The mitzvah of v'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha, I want to help out another Jew. You can do that when you write a check for tzedakah. You can do that when you are helping a neighbor with a package or with others some problem. Maybe you're going to do his carpool for him because he's stuck somewhere downtown and he can't get to his children, and it's time to pick up the children, and you're able to do it. So you should do it not with a disappointment. Oh, I have to do this mitzvah. I can't avoid it because he's my neighbor. You should do it l'shem shamayim. Have in mind, I'm doing it l'shem shamayim. That's called avas Hashem. In everything you do, it could be avas Hashem. I remember Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal once saying, if a person's a baker, he's giving bakery food, he's giving a bread across a counter, he should have in mind, what? The Hu naisei lechem v'chol basa ki li'olam chasa. I'm a shliach of Hashem. Here I'm giving you bread. When a person hears a mishabeach on a chola, he should be eager to say amen after the mishabeach, because by that he's showing avas Hashem. He's doing it l'shem shamayim. There's so many opportunities to do things l'shem shamayim. All we have to do is think. So says the Chofetz Chaim, don't just read the Krishna and say, we have to, as Hashem Elokecha b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol miyadecha. It should be applied. It should be put into action on all the three levels. B'chol avavcha, with all your heart, with b'shnei yetzrecha, with your yetzer tov and your yetzer hara. Maybe yetzer hara doesn't want you to do it. You do it anyway. Do it with all your soul. You don't always have to give up your life to do it, l'shem shemayim. Do it with a fire. Do it with an excitement. And v'chol mi'aydecha, and with all your wealth and your money, do it l'shem shemayim. With a little bit kavana, we're able to fulfill the mitzvah asay of yahavtes Hashem Elokecha. This is what we're saying all the time. And I believe when we are saying Krishma, we should be able to be aware that there are several mitzvahs into the reading of the Krishma. The reading of the Krishma itself is a mitzvah on its own. The reading of the Krishma, number one, has certain time sensitivities. The writer is that we should be able to say Krishma in its right time. We should try to say Krishma when it's Seisachachavim, when it's dark. If we say it when it's very early, when the stars are not out, and many people do, because especially in the summertime, even though you could be Yaitza according to a certain opinion in the Mishnah, however, it would be best if you say the Krishma over again. I tell you the simple way what I do. I say all three parashios during my Krishma Alamita with the kavana that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Krishma Shel Arvis. That's a thought together with the saying of the three parashios. It's so easy to do. And of course, saying Krishma in the daytime, we have to observe that there is a deadline to saying Krishma. I don't want to go into it now, but many shuls have times posted when we're supposed to say Krishma before, and because the summertime, it becomes hotter, especially on Shabbos, where it's approximately around 9 o'clock is the deadline for Krishma, then, of course, one should try to say Krishma before he goes to shul. Has he fulfilled the mitzvah, the Arisa, of doing Krishma? And then there goes the actual reading of the Shema. Reading of the Shema, first of all, should be read loud enough. It should be audible, that your ears can hear the words. Not be mumbled, but to say v'ahavta, every word, v'ahavta, eis, Hashem, kechem, b'chol, and your ears should hear. It doesn't have to be said loud to disturb somebody, but it should be audible, so that you can hear it. That's a mitzvah, brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. We should be careful that we say and pronounce the words of Shema correctly, that we shouldn't swallow one word with the other. For example, we have the word Al Livavecha that has two lamas, one lamed before before the word and the word ending. The two words that end with the same and the start with the same letter is a problematic word, because if we say them together, we swallow up one of the letters. We should separate B'chol Levavacha. B'chol, and if you look in your Siddur, there's a little hyphen between the two words to tell you have to read them separately. Al Levavacha, also. It should be separated. So you shouldn't read Al Levavacha with a swallowing up a lamed. Actually, we have the same thing, and not only in Shema, We actually have it even in making brachas like hamotzi. Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. The word lechem has a mem, and the word min has a mem. We shouldn't say lechem min ha'aretz, because then we swallowed up the mem. Maybe it's leche and min, or lechem in. We should separate whenever we have two words that ends with a letter similar to the next word that begins with that letter. We should always be able to separate it. All right? This is a very, very important. And ultimately, of course, when we say Shema, we should have Kavana, the meaning of the words. Shema Yisrael, hear Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. It's a personal thing we're saying. Hashem Echad, He's one. He's done so much for us. And we should think that He is in charge. He's master of the world, heaven and earth, in all four directions. And the Kavana that we can have, if you want to go into a deeper meaning, the word Echad, Aleph, Ches, and Dalid. The Aleph refers to Hashem being Echad, one. Dalid, Aches, is referring to eight. That's the eight, that's seven heavens and one world, the world that we live in. And the Dalid are the four directions. And whatever you have in mind, whatever Kavani you have in mind is fine. But that's what you can cash in with a little bit Kavana. And now, wondered, how does one achieve Avas Hashem? It's such a hard mitzvah, though. We're thinking about, okay, we're talking about Avas Hashem and do this and do that and have this kavana, that kavana. But how do we internalize that love? It's not an easy thing. I think about it myself. It's not an easy mitzvah. How do we internalize that? That we internalize loving Hashem in our heart the same way we love our spouse or love our children. We have a certain love for our children. How do we express that Ava, that Hashem is our God and we love Him? And it should touch upon our emotions, not just our actions itself. And Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatal once mentioned something, or I read it, I don't remember yet now, but it struck me very strongly. You think to yourself what Hashem has given you right now. He's given you the ability to see. Imagine you became blind and you couldn't see, you couldn't walk out of your room. Wouldn't you be grateful that you can see? All of a sudden, we couldn't breathe unless we were connected to a respirator. And some people experienced that. And they couldn't, for months, breathe without a machine. And all of a sudden, we removed the respirator from the person. Wouldn't that person say, "Oh yeah, I'm so thankful to Hashem, I thank you." And how many times we go to the washroom and we feel the urgency, we have to go to the bathroom, and we're in pain that we didn't yet relieve ourselves. And what would happen? We can't. We're in pain. Hashem is called Rafe Chol Basar Umafli Lasos. He's called the healer of all flesh, and He does wonderful things. At the end of Asher Yatzah, when we recognize the miracle of relieving ourselves in the bathroom, He is called the doctor of all flesh. I thought about that. Why is He called the doctor of all flesh just now? He could be called a doctor on any level. The answer is, before you relieve yourself, you are really considered sick, and you are in pain, and you need somehow to relieve yourself, and the doctor is going to be there to help you. Who's the doctor? Hashem. He's Rafe Chol Basar Umafli Lasos. If you stop to think just a few of these examples, and they happen to us all the time, well, is that not a reason to love Hashem? Do we take our health for granted? Maybe we shouldn't. Do we take our parnasa for granted? Not everybody is lucky to have parnasa. There are people without a job, and they yet have large families. Do we take our parnasa for granted? We stop thinking. We don't think that Hashem is the mind, is the dynamo behind the parnasa to make all the wheels of fortune work in our benefit and for our good fortune. That's all a reason why we should be loving Hashem. And we can give many, many examples. We can think of them to ourselves. And we should stop and be honest. And that's where it boils down, to being honest with ourselves. What would be if we wouldn't have this blessing of health or that blessing of health? What would be if we would not be able to hear? Well, chas v'shalom, what would be if we wouldn't have this, if we wouldn't have that? What would be? Yes, we have what to thank Hashem. Yes, there's something to thank Hashem for. Let me just finish with a story. A famous story I've said before, but it's so apropos to Krishma. Because we say Shema every day. And I started off saying at the beginning of my shir that we begin our life with children, with saying Shema. We leave our lives with saying Vidui and Krishma. Let's finish with a story. The story happened in the time of the Holocaust, and there was a husband and a wife fleeing from the Germans and had two young children, toddlers. One was, I think, 3 and one was 4. And they knew that they had to leave the city and there was no place for them to go to hide with the children. They would have to run in the fields, and they know the Germans would comb the fields to see where people are hiding. And they knew that there was no hope to take the children with them. Their only hope was to bring them to some kind of orphanage. And then hopefully if they survive the war, they will come back, hopefully, and retake their children. So they went to this orphanage, which was on their way. And it was a Christian orphanage, and they knocked on the door and will call the priest, Father John. Father John opens the door and with a smile says, "Oh, welcome. Oh, I see you are two Jewish people. What can I do for you? I'm so sad that you're being persecuted. How can I help you?" They said, "We have two children. We have to run for our lives. This is an orphanage. Could you please take these two children and keep them with you? And maybe by miracle, we will somehow remain alive, and we want to take our children back at the end of the war. Will you promise to give us these children?" Father John said, "Of course, such a good deed. I will take your children, no problem, and they'll be safe and sound with me." And so Father John closed the door, and off the father and the mother ran into the fields and into the night and disappeared, running for their lives. And this is going on for several years. And the war finally ends. And by miracle, father and mother are kept together and are alive. And they make their way to the Christian orphanage. And they knock on that same familiar door. And there Father John opens up the door. And he looks at them and he says, could I be of any service? How can I help you? They said, don't you recognize us? We left our two sons with you. We ran for our lives. We left our two Jewish children here. Could you please give us back our two Jewish children? Father John said, I'm so sorry. You're making a big mistake. Look at the sign on top that says this is a Christian orphanage. This is not the right place. You must have made a mistake with another orphanage. I'm so sorry. No, but they said, no. We recognize you and we recognize the building and we know this is the location. Please give us back our children. Father John said, you know what I just told you. This is a Christian orphanage. We don't have Jewish children here. And he slams the door shut in their face. These two parents leave with such a torn heart, tears in their eyes, and very, very much in pain, feel that their children have been kidnapped from them and don't know what to do next. So they return back to the DP camps, and finally they end up on a boat to America. But they don't stop there. They inform Agudas Yisrael, and they let them know that we have had two children that were kidnapped by a Christian orphanage. Please help us. Help us get our two children back. They said, the person who can help you is none other than Harav HaGoyen of Lazer Silver. But Lazer Silver was a great rabbi in that time, and he also was recognized as a chief chaplain in the American Army. So they went and visited Rav Lazer Silver Zatzal, and they said to Rav Lazer, please help us. We know exactly where the child is, and we know the address. Is there any way of helping us get our children? Rav Lazer Silver says, I will try. He took the information down, and with his uniform and his stripes and stars and all of the medals that he gave a chaplain in the army, went on a boat to Europe, and there he looked for the address. And as he found the orphanage, he knocked on the door. And as he knocked on the door, Father John opens up with a big surprise. An American officer, a rabbi, chaplain, no less. Welcome, rabbi, officer of the American Army. How could I help you? He said, could you please allow me in? I have to talk to you. So he sits him down in his office, and Rabbi Silva gets to business, down to business. He says, I'm here on a mission. Two parents came to tell me about their children that they have left in your orphanage. And I want you to know I would like to retrieve them. Oh, Rabbi, I know who they are. They knocked on my door, and I told them there are no Jewish children here. I told them, look at the sign. It's a Christian orphanage. They must have made a mistake with another orphanage. Please, this is a mistake. Lazer Silver said, very well. Is there a way that you can gather all the children in one room so that I can talk to all of them together? Or perhaps supper time, we'll have them all together, please. Everybody, therefore, was assembled in the lunchroom, and everybody who was there was listening. The priest had made a very important announcement. My dear children, we have a very special guest from America. Please give him your undivided attention. And no one should talk and make noise. Rabbi Silver says, I want you to hear what I'm going to say. If you ever heard these words, please raise your hand. And all of a sudden, he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Did any one of you boys or girls or anybody hear this ever in your lives? Two boys, perhaps in different parts of the audience, raised, Rabbi, I heard that, but I never knew. I don't remember when I heard that. Rabbi Lazar Silver said, there are the two boys. You lied to me. No Christian child as a baby hears these words. These words are words that parents rock their children to sleep. These are words that everybody says Shema when they go to sleep. You lied to me, and I will inform the authorities that you have kidnapped these two children if you don't let me take them immediately. The priest is shaking. He says, take them away and go. The story has another ending to it, though. I believe, according to Ephraim Waxman, who said over the story, said, there are many other children started to cry and says, Tati, Mommy, Tati, please, I remember that. Oh, sure, I remember that. And then, I'm not sure what Rabbi Lazar Silver did at that moment. But what do we hear? What do we say? The Krishma that is said, every day with children, saved these two children from being kidnapped by a priest in this Christian orphanage. Yes, the Krishma that was said around Yaakov Avinu's bed is the same Krishma that we say thousands of years later. And with the additional part of the Ahavta Eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol ni'etecha, it strengthens our belief in Hashem. It cements our resolve that there is no other but Hashem and that He runs the world, and we're obligated to show love to Him all the time. May we enter this week of Shabbos Nachmu. It should be a real nechama to us and to Hashem that we take these words seriously and that we look to find excuses to do things with Shem Shamayim and not to avoid the opportunity when it comes our way. And every time we show L'Shem Shemayim, we express Avas Hashem. We fulfill a mitzvah asay in the Torah. May we get stronger day by day and week by week. It'll certainly be a nechama to Hashem watching us make these changes. And certainly it'll be a chizuk and a nechama to the Jewish people. Have a wonderful week. Zay gesund and be well. Cult of.